Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, I read, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless thy holy name. Lord, we are here as true worshippers to worship you in the truth that has been revealed to all of us in thy word. Lord, you are our foot, you are our anchor, our hope, and we are all here gathering under the shelter of thy mighty name. Lord, we thank you that you showed thy grace and mercy in all our lives. Lord, we thank you that you called all of us to be part of this wonderful God's family, O Lord. Lord, we thank you that you have been watching over all of us, guiding us, teaching us, purging us, pruning us, so that we may bear fruit for you, because the Bible says the righteousness will remain in the fruitful field. Oh Lord, we want to remain as a remnant of God, the children of God, by being fruitful for thy mighty works in this world, O Lord. Lord, we thank you as a congregation that we are all one body of Christ in one faith, one baptism, one mind, one spirit. We are all united by the Spirit of God. No one can say that Jesus Christ is the Lord without the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you, all of us who are here, every one of us, in the mighty name of Jesus, we all received the Holy Ghost, because of which we understood the truth. We accepted you as our Master, our Savior. Lord, we thank you that you touched all of us with thy Spirit. And we believe in Jesus' name, your presence will go with us wherever we go. Because, O Lord, we are here to glorify thy mighty name. We don't want anything else, O Lord. We only want you. We don't just want the blessings or the comfort or to feel good that we are trying to be a good Christian. But, Lord, we seek you. We seek thy face. We want you in our lives. We want your presence in our lives. Not just the blessings of Father. We want to set our eyes upon things above. And it is you, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the wonderful worship. We thank you that you brought all of us here. Our flesh, our body cannot move from where we are. But Lord, the Spirit was willing. But because of thy Holy Spirit, O Lord, we are here. And thank you, Lord, for gathering all of us in thy mighty name. Lord, I pray that you take the preeminence in the midst of us. You take the highest seat in the midst of us. You are the head of this church. And Lord, we are all here as empty vessels to know more of thy grace, to know more of thee in thy word. So Lord, I pray in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, take complete control of this sermon. Every single word that is going to be spoken, every single blessed thought that you are going to pour upon all of us. Lord, we thank you and we believe in Jesus' name. We will march forward and we will make a testimony in our lives to proclaim your glory in our lives. We thank you, Lord. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all, dear brethren. You may be all seated. Last Sunday, by God's grace, we meditated on the words of life, the power of Holy Spirit, and we meditated on words of life on the presence and the glory of the Lord. The Bible says, glory and honor in His presence. Amen. And we are all here to seek His face, which is nothing but His presence in our lives, so that we are always filled with the blessed thoughts inspired by His word. Not our own thoughts, not our own actions, or reaction to what we face in our lives, but nothing but blessed thoughts. And these blessed thoughts cannot come from our own, because we are not blessed without Him. He is the blessing, the reward that we received. So if I say that I feel very safe when I stand next to this person and I feel protected when I am with him, I should be the one following him. I cannot go on my way and call, "I am in need of help and where are you?" And the person would say, "If you need me, seek me. If you want me to be with you, then you should be with me." So we always give the reverence and honor to the Lord by keep on following him and keep on seeking him, that, "Lord, I am going to my work, I am going to meet my family, I have a dispute with my friend, I am going to speak to him." Let's don't ask him, "Lord, how can I speak, what can I say, how can I overcome?" But rather, we simply say, "Lord, just be with me. And Lord, soak me in thy presence, so that it is not me, but it is Christ in me." So today, we shall continue where we left last Sunday. The presence and the glory of the Lord. We can also call it as the glorious presence of the Lord. When we say the Lord anointed his servants, the Spirit of the Lord rested upon them. That's why the Lord says, "Don't touch my anointed," because you are touching the Lord's Spirit. You are touching means not just physically touching or attacking, but anything spoken or anything that is against the anointed ones of God, we are actually speaking blasphemy against the Holy Ghost without even knowing by our little carnal mind. So if the presence of the Lord is all that matters, when Moses said, "If you don't come with me, I won't go. I want you to be with me because you are the one who called me." So he was asking the Lord, and the Lord said, "My presence shall go with thee." That's all the time. So the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, the glory of the Lord, everything is for the people of Israel to witness that what the Lord is doing in the midst of them. But for Moses, the Lord has given a promise, "My presence will go with thee wherever you go." So now, as a ministry, as a congregation, the only thing that we all can seek, not just as a group, but as an individual, the revival, when we say the revival starts with me, starts with you, we have to seek the Lord in our own spirit, so that we would be able to overcome our own weaknesses. If not, we would always assume that we are a church of God, we are a ministry of God, and God will take care of everything. So what I should do is just stand in the queue and just follow the ark. Yes, we will follow the ark, and our mind will tell us, "You are following the ark." But if the Holy Ghost is not witnessing with our spirit, then we are not following the ark. But actually, we are witnessing people following the ark. There's a big difference. Being an audience, being a spectator, rather than being the one who is part of God's work. Because the Bible says we are the laborers with God. The husbandry. We are God's building. God is always working. If we witness God, then we must be always working spiritually. So, we started this sermon with the verse when the Lord said with so much authority and power, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and I won't give my glory to anyone." When the Lord said, "Let us create a man in our image and own likeness," he said, "Let us." Amen. When the Lord has his preeminence in the midst of us, he is in all of us. Amen. The Lord wants all of us to understand, if we are in him, he is in us, he will give us his glory. Revelation says, glory of God is our reward. But in the Old Testament, when the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, the ministers, the prophets, the Levites could not even enter the temple because the cloud was there, and they could not enter because the glory of the Lord rested, filled the temple, filled the tabernacle, filled the house when Solomon was doing all things for the Lord. If the Bible says, if you see the glory of the Lord, you shall never live. When Saul met Jesus Christ on his way, his eyes were blinded. He literally died in flesh and he became a new creation. He saw the glory of the Lord, and Saul died, Paul was born. Amen. All of us Unlike Abraham, whose name was changed to Abraham, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, after our baptism or after we accepted our Lord, our name was not changed figuratively, like Brother Henry, Brother Henry, Brother Prasi, Brother Prasi. But actually, the name to this world is an outward appearance. If I suddenly change my name to David, people will come and ask me, hey, last week I saw your name Prasi, but how come you changed to David? You know, for them it's a big change. But when you pronounce, I receive the light from sun, Brother Infant may see Brother Prasi talking about the sun. S-U-N. Now I say, I receive the light from the Son of God, then Brother Zoyal will say, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. But the same pronunciation, sun, sun, but the spelling is different, the context is completely different. And even there are words with same spelling, but means different things. The truth is, the Lord has changed all our names the day when we accepted Christ as our Master. Maybe it sounds similar, but actually our name is not the same. When the Lord said, rejoice, for your names are written in the book of life, that name is all that matters. And the Lord said, my name is your reward. When we accept Him, we receive His name. So we receive Him as a whole. All the great things that we talk about Jesus, all the beautiful names that go along with Him, Judge, Advocate, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Emmanuel, so many things to praise and worship the beauty of the name of Jesus. So when we say, Lord, I call upon Thy name, we are asking all His goodness in our life. That is why the Lord said, it is the name above all names in which we are all being reconciled back to God. Amen. The power of name represents the fullness of God. And it's not just that. It brings down the glory of the Lord in our lives, where our spirit man would remain, but our flesh cannot stand. That is why the word still stays true. The one who sees the glory of the Lord shall not live in this world, but he will live in his life. Amen. So we are all here to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to die in my flesh, not just when I was baptized, but every day. In Matthew, when the Lord said, if you want to follow me, take up thy cross and follow me. But in Luke, there is one single word added, daily. That changed everything. Daily. That is why today is the day. Every single day, we seek His face. Every single day, we bear our cross. And every single day, we deny ourselves. And every single day, we do everything all over again. Or else, the flame that has been activated, lit up by the Lord, we will say, Lord, I'm going to sleep. If the flame in the temple is going to be put off, it's okay, you come and wake me up. Lord will do that. Then He will say, Eli, please move, make way to Samuel. We don't want to be replaced. It's not a competition, it is not a race to one another, but it is the Lord's perfect will that is waiting to be fulfilled in our lives, and because of our own actions, we will go to sleep. I always try to understand, when Jesus saw His disciples, they were not disciples at that time. He saw Matthew, He saw Mark, He saw Luke. He did not go and tell them, hey, nice to meet you, I am Jesus, I am the Savior, if you want to be my disciples, you are welcome. He didn't say any of that. He said three words, come, follow me. That's all. Come, follow me. And that's the first time they see Him, that's the first time they heard Him. The Bible says they left everything at once, whatever they were doing, and they followed Him. But what is more surprising to me is, if they had such a faith to obey His word, to follow Him, why, when the Lord Jesus told them very strictly in the Garden of Gethsemane, not once, but multiple times, don't sleep, watch and pray. Don't sleep, watch and pray. But still they slept. So the word come and follow me is easy to do, but the word watch and pray is difficult to do. Because the first one, the Lord spoke something, He did not give them a chance. He did not ask them, will you follow me? No. Let's always be very careful with every single letter word that Jesus spoke in the Bible. He did not tell them, Matthew, are you willing to follow me? No. He told them, come, follow me. It is a word spoken. The sheep heard the voice and it obeyed the voice and followed Jesus.
But in the Garden of Gethsemane, it is a matter of free will against the Spirit of the Lord. So he told the disciples, the three of them, whom he brought, because Lord always bring two or three witness to teach us. Amen. The Bible says always two or three witness. Even in the end of time revelation, we know two witnesses are coming. Not one, two. So, the Lord told them, watch and pray, but still they went to sleep. Watch and pray, they still went to sleep. Whenever I read this chapter, I always get reminded of Eli, the flame and the temple. So, in the Bible, the devouring fire went forth from the presence of the Lord to destroy the abomination. Amen. It is also coming from the same presence of the Lord. But it's not the presence of the Lord that goes and burns, because He is holy. He is light. The Bible says the fire, the devouring fire, went from the presence of the Lord, then came down on Sodom and Gomorrah. The fire devoured the sons of Eli. The fire devoured the people who were against the children of God. The same fire, the Bible says very clearly, went forth from the presence of the Lord. Life and death. Blessing and curse. The same presence of the Lord can give us life, can shield us. And the same presence of the Lord, if we do some abomination in the altar, the word, and the Lord would deal with us in a different form of fire. It is also the same fire, but a different form of fire. The flame of fire. So, last Sunday, when we studied the beautiful verse, by the Holy Ghost, ye all are sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. Redemption. That is why we are all called remnants, leftovers. Everything else destroyed. And the remnants are the only ones who were preserved. By whom? By the wall of fire, by the Lord Himself, by the glory of the Lord. When the Lord gave a promise to Moses, was using Aaron as a high priest, it is so beautiful, the sequence. When Aaron spoke to his people, we shall go and read later, there is a sequence. The people saw the glory of the Lord appear, step one. Then step two, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Then we move forward to Kings, when Solomon built the house of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, where the ministers could not even enter the house. So you see, the glory of the Lord, if the Lord says, I won't give my glory to anyone, He wants to warn all of us, if you don't belong to me, if you don't stand in my presence, then we are not His. Then we cannot receive His glory. Amen. If we want to receive His glory, we must be in Him. We must be in His presence. So by the grace of God, we will study the words of life, and we believe in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit will teach us. Amen. Let's go before the Lord and read Romans chapter 3 verse 23. This is where we will start what was lost and what is to be gained in our lives. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. I will read from verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Amen. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. When the Lord says all, amen, we can't exclude. No matter how good you are a person, even before you accepted Christ. Even those who are going to be born, all, beyond time, past, present and future, all have sinned. They are short of the glory of the Lord. We cannot receive the glory of the Lord unless we seek His face, we are in His presence, and when the Lord fills us with His glory, and we are there. We have to be there. Now, if we are all short of the glory of the Lord, what is the first verse that we start this love letter? Let's read Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2. We go from here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. This is the first two verses of the Holy Bible. And it starts with, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Verse 2 is something very deep that the Lord wants to remind all of us. The earth was without form and void. What is the meaning of void? Empty. It is not filled. It is empty. "And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Amen. "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Because the earth was without form, was void, empty, kind of vacuum, not filled by anything. Because of that, darkness was there, was upon the face of the earth. But still, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Which here, let's read this. Psalms chapter 16, verse 7 to 10. Psalms chapter 16, verse 7 to 10. So we just read, the earth was without form and void. Psalm 16, verse 7 to 10, we read, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." Amen. "My glory also rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For all have sinned, we are short of the glory of the Lord." Let's remember that verse. I want us to go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. I read, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For all have sinned, we are short of the glory of the Lord." In the beginning, the earth was without form, void, because of the darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the waters. And now we read, God who commanded the light out of darkness, and he gave all of us the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is where the importance of knowledge. It is completely a different knowledge the whole world perceives. In this world, knowledge means learning something, knowing something that they did not know before, from a book, from an experience, or from other people. But this knowledge is totally divine. It is not, carnal mind cannot receive it. The same thing, natural man cannot receive it, the spirit of the things of the spirit. This is the thing of a spirit. And the Lord says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There are four words: light, knowledge, glory, and face. Light, knowledge, glory, and face. Knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. I shall read from verse 12 to have the full context. "Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and stabilizeth a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity?" Verse 14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea." Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Earth was void, empty, darkness was there. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. The earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord, which means it was not filled with the glory of the Lord before. And this glory of the Lord is the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Here the name of Jesus is not written. We just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 because it's a prophetical book. And the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Amen. As the water covers the sea, the Spirit of God was hovering upon the face of the waters. Without knowing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we cannot receive the glory of the Lord. Amen. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord, the light that comes out of the darkness, the face of all of these things, the glory of the Lord is the complete manifestation of His Word in Christ Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, glory of the Lord appeared. Then glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Then the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Are we all house of the Lord? Amen. We are the spiritual priesthood. We are the lively stones built upon the stone of life, the chief cornerstone. We are the house of the Lord. The same flame that was burning, shine and bright in the temple of the Lord, where it was taken when Eli slept, when Samuel was put back, the flame was again lit up by the Lord. Now, if we are all the house of the Lord, do we understand what we shall seek every day? If there is no glory of the Lord filled in the house of the Lord, then how can we call that we are the house of the Lord? So the Lord says, seek my face early, seek my face daily, because today manna is given, tomorrow is a new day. His mercy endureth forever. It is fresh every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord says, I am ready to fill you. I am ready to descend upon you. But are you ready to seek me? Are you ready to ask me? Not ask my power, my might, my gifts, but my blessings, my deliverance. But are you ask me, myself? So I was jokingly said last week, Brother Zoyal was in Philippines. If enemies come and attack me, I would ask him for help. Then he would tell me, if you need me, be with me. But today he's here. So I can say, if the enemy comes, I will tell him, please come and protect me. If we tell the Lord, Lord, be with me, the first question is, are we with the Lord? We always take a passive role. It is the carnal mind that always makes us more weaker and weaker day by day, even in our spiritual life. We say, whatever happens, Lord, you are in complete control of my life, so I accept everything. But we go and do the same mistake. Then we say, Lord, thank you for the valley, thank you for the punishment. You are my master. You are in complete control of my life. Then we go and do the same thing. It doesn't work like that. Not all the consequences of our life, we cannot blame that word of God, spirit of God, I'm a child of God. We cannot hide behind this righteousness of God. There are things that Lord allows in our lives, which we can discern if we walk straight, if still something happens, then it is a trial. It is something that the Lord wants us to go through, to forge us through fire. But if we make a mistake, as a man, even a woman, everybody, the Bible says, when the Lord spoke to Job, be a man, reason with me. He always called them, be a man, be a man. Hear what I say, reason with me. He reminds all of us, I created you. You are in my image and likeness. Be a man. Don't hide. Don't blame the enemy. Don't blame the people. Don't just try to hide behind my goodness. We face the consequences of our own mistake. That is why there is a word called repentance. That is why there is a word called no remorse, you know, to feel what we have done. If there is no broken heart, then the sweet aroma cannot reach the presence of the Lord. Then we cannot be filled with the glory of the Lord. So, we must accept and we must acknowledge, if the Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, then what is our spirit is doing? Our spirit is also against our spiritual life if our spirit is not abiding in His word. We can do all things in our own spirit and we can still say, I am being led by the Spirit of God. So, to avoid all these confusions, avoid all this lack of understanding, what we need is the glory of the Lord to fill the house of the Lord. Because where there is the Holy Spirit, there is liberty. Amen. Now with this, let's read Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 1:3. We talked about light, knowledge, glory, and faith. Now, when we talk about light, the light has, what do you call it? The light shines. The shining radius of light, we can say, it is too bright, I cannot see. Ah, now I can see, it is comfortable for me to see. And if we need too much brightness, our eyes cannot see. So, Hebrews 1:3 says, if we talk about the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, which will be, the whole world will be filled, Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of His glory, who, we read from verse 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He had appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, who is the brightness of His glory? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The brightness of His glory. If the glory of the Lord will fill the whole earth, then we can understand the bell rings, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. When that word completes, then we can say the glory of the Lord filled the earth. Until that day, the ministry continues. Until that moment, the ministry of reconciliation continues. So we, all of us, are here to work for the Lord, with the Lord, in His word. Amen. So if the earth will be filled with His glory, the revelation of Jesus Christ will be revealed to all the souls, so that every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is the Lord. And we just read, no one can say Jesus Christ is the Lord without the Holy Ghost. They cannot say if they don't receive the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, resting upon the whole earth in His children is the only way the word can come to pass, which is the glory of the Lord filled the earth. It's not may. The glory of the Lord will fill the earth and no one can stop it. Amen. So now, let's go and read this verse. John 11:40. Let's see the sequence of how the Lord Jesus revealed things slowly in parables before He declares what is the glory of the Lord in His ministry. John 11:40, we read this first, then we go to chapter 17. Jesus here speaking to a woman, and He says about seeing the glory of the Lord. Chapter 11:40, I read. I read from verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in Himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto Him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Amen. If you don't believe, he says, you can't see me. Because he is the brightness of the glory of the Lord. If you don't believe, you can't see me. And we don't walk by sight, but by faith. And the Lord says, you believe, you will see the glory of the Lord, and you will still live. In Old Testament, if you see, you will die. But in New Testament, you will see the glory of the Lord, and you will live, you will start living the real, the true, the only life. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 11. And 6 chapters down, in 17, he revealed things in a more excellent way. Chapter 17, verse 4 to 5. Verse 4 to 5. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I am the Alpha and Omega, which was, which is to come. Glorify me, O Lord, not just any glory, the same glory what the Lord said, I won't give my glory to anyone. I won't give my praise to any graven images. Because God says it is my glory. There is only one glory. In this world we have different types of glory. Like different types of Christ, different types of gods, different types of people they worship. There are different types of glories. They all can be called as glory of vain, vanity. Nothing else. So, when Jesus said, glorify me, because I glorify thee on this earth, the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, is the sign of the completion of the ministry of reconciliation. Then we remember what will happen to the regeneration of the earth. Amen. So here this is what Jesus said. And as a bride, we are all Gentiles who receive the revelation of truth by the grace of God. And in Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21, when the bride was addressed in the new heaven and new earth, yes, verse 21, verse 11 says, Revelation chapter 21, verse 11 says, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Amen. Having the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 verse 23, all have sinned short of the glory of the Lord, and the earth must be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now what is that? Then the Great Commission began in the book of Acts. Jesus said, ye shall receive the power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. Only then you will be a witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judah, and to the end of the earth. Not just limited to one particular region. He said end of the earth. And all the churches were edified with the comfort of the Holy Ghost, because the people were walking in the fear of the Lord. This is in Acts chapter 9. When we read these two verses, we must remember when the Lord told Adam, be fruitful and multiply, the word being fruitful, it is completely in a different context in New Testament. If you say, Lord, I want to be fruitful for you, it is not giving birth to 1,000 children. Those days, the Lord wanted people to grow bigger and bigger as a nation and to fill the earth. And in New Testament, when the Lord says, be fruitful, we have to remember the prophecy in Isaiah, the righteousness shall remain in the fruitful field. Only in the fruitful field. Amen. Which means the field which reaps reward, which produces fruit for the Lord, will be the field of the Lord, and there the Lord will impute his righteousness. Because of that, the trees that are marked for eternal destruction of fire, they will become the trees of righteousness. Only then we can remain. We can say we are the remnants of the Lord. Amen. So, the Holy Ghost, the pouring of the Holy Spirit upon the earth, upon all men. The Bible says in Joel chapter 2, all men. That is the finishing, or how the Great Commission is going to be completely manifested as exactly the way the Lord has spoken even from the very first chapter of the Holy Bible. So the glory of the Lord. When I was a young boy, to me glory of the Lord means something holy where only the holy people can talk about it, can speak about it, can be in that such a presence. We are all normal people, normal Christians. We are all part of the church. So we just take one step back and just be a witness. But in Zechariah, the Lord said, I will surround her with a wall of fire, my glory in the midst of them. In the midst of them. So, glory of the Lord in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, with the revelation of Jesus Christ, all things becomes more clearer. Because Jesus Christ said, I will ascend unto my Father, your Father, my God, your God, and only then I can send the Comforter to you. Only if the Comforter is sent, the Holy Spirit, who will witness with our spirit, can do the works of the Lord with the power after we receive the Holy Ghost, then the glory of the Lord will start being filled in this earth. Amen. Do we all understand, as a ministry in all the places in the countries, everybody is bringing the glory of the Lord and filling the glory of the Lord by bringing people to the truth. So the glory of the Lord is being filled wherever the truth is revealed to a soul. If someone can understand the truth, at that point, at that place, the glory of the Lord descended. Because without the Holy Ghost, no one can say Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen. One thing that is extremely deeper is, when the Lord told Abraham, Abraham, wake up and bring your son and sacrifice your only son for me. When the Lord said that, Abraham, who became Abraham, the real Abraham as a man, Abraham in carnal, Abraham in flesh, who lied to the king, who was very scared of his own life, who told his own wife as his sister, the same Abraham, before he became Abraham. That Abraham cannot do it. That Abraham cannot climb the mountain and be in the place where the Lord told him to meet. But when the Lord blessed him, the Lord called him, and the Lord imputed his righteousness in him, and he glorified himself because of the faith of Abraham. I was praying about this. I felt a blessing in all our lives. Every single good thing that we can do for the Lord, in the Lord, by the Lord, the glory of the Lord is resting upon you and me. Without that, we can't do it. We cannot do anything righteousness according to Bible without the Holy Ghost. So if Abraham was able to climb on the mountain, that's the only thing the Lord wanted him to do. Because Lord told Abraham, my presence shall go with thee. Amen. So Lord was with Abraham even before he started climbing the mountain. Even before he saddled up his donkeys. Even before he called Isaac to follow him. Even before he prepared everything. The Lord was always with him. If the Lord was always with him, why the Lord told him to go and meet him in the mountain? He always wants he always called all of us to meet him in the mountain, where we need to carry our flesh, not on the flat ground. Something higher, tougher. The trials are not quite hard for us to carry our body, carry our thoughts, without backsliding, without rolling down. So, as I was meditating on this, the Lord just wanted Abraham to make the journey from the bottom of the mountain to the top of the mountain. That's all he asked him to do. Everything else happened afterward. It was God in all of them. The Bible says, we give the preeminence to the Lord. We glorify Him for everything because our righteousness is nothing but the filthy rag. Amen. If Abraham was able to take the sword and, you know, was about to execute the Lord's commandment, it was not the spirit of Abraham. It was the spirit of God which was able to give the strength and the power to Abraham to do what was told to be done. Because Abraham obeyed, and because Abraham obeyed, the Lord, the spirit of the Lord rested upon him. Same for Isaac, who also obeyed his father. He was just lying on the altar, just still, silent. It was God in all of them at that beautiful moment. In our lives, we should not isolate ourselves from the Lord. If we do so, we will feel we are strong. If we do so, we will think that we are doing something great. But the truth is, it is God who works in all of us according to His pleasure and will, who is all in all of us. If we believe that truly, every single beautiful spiritual thing that you have done, it is not you. It is not me. It is the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, which testified with our spirit. And that testimony, the consequence of that testimony is that little good thing that you did in your life. If not, Abraham can't even take the sword to kill his own son. He knew that the Lord is with him, no matter what. I'm sure all of you, when you started your journey as a Christian, we always greet each other, "The Lord bless you so much. I pray for you. God will strengthen you. God will give you comfort." This is how, you know, we all start, like, using the name of the Lord for strength, for comfort, for bringing peace to our heart. He became like a tool for us to pacify our own thoughts, you know, like feel peace. But the more and more we walk in His Word, I learned in a very beautiful way that the beautiful thing that you can say at any point of your life is, "God is with me." Amen. Let's remember, when the John the Baptist was about to be beheaded, since he was born, he's like the voice in the wilderness. He lived a very, very simple life, eating honey, and he was actually doing everything to prepare the way for the Lord, and he baptized Jesus. Then the king, the wife of the king, wanted his head. And I just want all of us to think, if the Lord take all of us to the time where John the Baptist was supposed to be beheaded, and the person who is going to behead his head yield the sword and going to behead him, if the Lord want all of us to say something to John the Baptist, what we could say? If we say, "John the Baptist, God bless you. Be strong, be of good courage." We can say all of those things. But for me, I felt peace to say, "God is with you." In goodness, in pain, in struggle, in storm, in sunshine, in health, in death, in everything, you and me can say boldly, "God is with me." It's the same boldness that Moses was able to hold upon and go on to the 40 years of wilderness, because the Lord told him, "I am with you." Instead of telling the Lord, "I'm going to join this prayer, I'm going to listen to this sermon, I'm going to do this, God bless me, teach me things, teach me things." But "God is with us" is one statement of proclaiming your faith in any point of your life. Even in your last breath, when you are in deathbed, you can say, "God is with me." Amen. Let's read this. Psalms chapter 139, verse 7 to 8. Just came to my heart. Psalms chapter 139, verse 7 to 8. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." Amen. Is there anything else that we want in our life other than asking the Lord, "Be with me"? and guide me to be with you. Because He is always with us. It is us who derail from the track, deviate from the path and take right or take left. And walking straight is two things: submitting our lives to the perfect will of God and suppressing our own free will, our flesh, so that we can be in His presence. God wants us to do the work. Nothing is guaranteed, no, for free. The only thing the Lord has given us for free is salvation. And that salvation also is not something guaranteed. He wants us to preserve it. It's like He has given us a trophy and He wants us to keep it until He gave us a crown, as we sang the song beautifully today. Crown. Now, let's please read Psalms chapter 34 verse 7. Razoel, can you read this for me? Psalms chapter 34 verse 7. You can read from 1 to 7. I will drink water.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be my mouth.
Amen.
My soul shall make sorrow boast in the Lord. The humble shall feel thereof and dwell. So magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, delivered me from all my fears. They looked up unto Him and were affrighted, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, delivered them.
Amen. Verse 7, let's read this prayerfully. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. Amen. Them that fear Him and delivereth them. Those who fear the Lord will receive the knowledge and wisdom of God, not of this world. When you receive the knowledge and wisdom of God, and that knowledge is nothing but the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Himself, the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. And verse 7 is beautifully linked with Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5. Let's read this and let's remember Psalms 34 verse 7 and read Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5. We will read from verse 1 to 5. Verse 1 to 5, chapter 2. I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. Verse 5, for I, said the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. For all has sinned short of the glory of the Lord. And the Lord said, I will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. When Adam and Eve were cast out from the Garden of Eden, the Lord shielded the garden because He did not want His glory to be dishonored by what happened. And now our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He is the only one who can open the gates for us to go back in. He is the only way. That is why we call Him the only way, the truth. Psalms 34, 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about. And you can't escape. You can't go out. When the angel of the Lord wants to lock you in, you can't escape. Actually, you don't want to escape. That is why we call ourselves prisoners of the Christ. We want to be sealed. We want to be jailed. We don't want to stay out of the glory of the Lord. The day we do, we will be facing another fire, which is called the devouring fire, from the presence of the Lord. Life and death comes from Him. So, last week,
And last 2 weeks we have been meditating on the Spirit of the Lord which beareth witness with our spirit. And that is our desire, that we want to live a life to be a witness for the Lord in spirit. Amen. And the Holy Ghost will be poured upon the whole earth, and we all receive, or else we would not be here standing proclaiming the Lord is our Savior. And in Acts, the Great Commission, when it began, the Lord said, you will be a witness to me to the end of the earth. And all the churches were edified because they were walking in the fear of the Lord. And the comfort of Holy Ghost, they were edified, they were multiplied. So, we are all the seventh church age. Amen. If we don't walk in the fear of the Lord, the edification and the purification and the perfection cannot stand in our life. Because the fear of the Lord is all about. So, in the process, we ought to keep the unity of the Spirit with the bond of peace. Whereas we put on charity, this is the bond of perfectness. Whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, whatever the work we do, the Bible says, do to the glory of the Lord, because we all have sinned and we are short of the glory of the Lord. And the Lord gave us a promise that if we seek His presence, we receive glory and honor. Glory and honor in His presence. Amen. And the Lord also promised all His prophets that my presence shall go with thee. And because of that, we say, Lord, you reveal so much things to me. And because of thy Holy Spirit, you, me, all of us are sealed unto the day of redemption. You could see how it is all connected across thousands of years, how the Bible was written. We don't simply call it is the Word of God. Oneness. Word. And you please look at the last one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass of the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. It's the most important understanding the Lord wants to teach all of us. By the Spirit of the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. If there is no power, then why the Lord said, ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost come upon you. But the Lord says, not by might, not by power, but by Spirit. Holy Spirit is the power. Amen. Our God is the help. He just don't send help. He is the help. He is not just sending us hope. He is the hope. It's a big difference. You can seek help from people. But what if the people are your help? So, when the Lord said, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. If we don't have the Spirit in our life, if we only have the gifts of the Spirit, then the Lord would say, I never knew you. Because in the New Testament, when the people came and told Him, we healed, we cast out demons, we did miracles in your name. But Jesus said, I never knew you. I cannot relate you with me. I cannot testify you with my Spirit. If I cannot testify, I never knew you. If I never knew you, then what the Lord said, I won't give my glory to anyone. So my glory is not for you. If we are anyone, then we can't receive the glory of the Lord. We have only one chance, one choice, one option, which is to be Him, to be in Him. There is no other way we can receive the glory of the Lord, because we cannot stand. We don't want the Lord to deal with us with a devouring fire. But rather, we seek the Lord for His grace and mercy to deal with us with the flame. The flame that did not burn the bush when He spoke to Moses. The wall of fire that will protect the remnant and camp us around about. We want that flame, not the devouring fire. So let's please focus on this prayerfully. The anchor is, natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Amen. So we must be a spiritual man
to receive the things of the Spirit. As simple as this. And we cannot do that. We cannot do that. So the Lord says, seek my face, seek my Spirit, and in my presence I will give you liberty. And to be a witness, the Lord says, if you want to call yourself as children of God, we can say 1,000 things, right? Lord is speaking to me, Lord is dealing with me, thus saith the Lord. We can say 1,000 things. But if the Lord says, I don't see my witness in you, I cannot witness with you in spirit, whatever you speak cannot reach my presence, then the Bible says, if the Holy Spirit does not bear witness with our spirit, we cannot be called as children of God, as written here, Romans 8:16. That we are the children of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me, do the works of me. You will be identified as my follower by doing the same works as me. So it is like Father, like Son. If we say, I am going to witness Jesus to a brother, to a sister, I spoke one whole day. After the one whole day, the brother and sister listened to me completely, and she said, such a wonderful discussion, brother. I thank the Lord that you taught me about the love of Jesus, how to be kind, how to be genuine, how to love one another in deed, in truth. It is so wonderful to hear, but I don't see anything in your life. If she or he says to me, at that point, that particular brother, that particular sister is blessed by the Lord directly, but I was not able to be a witness in the middle. I could not stand in the gap because the Holy Spirit could not bear witness with my spirit because I was there not as the vessel of God, but rather in my own understanding to go and do something for the Lord. But you know what will happen? The Lord will bless the soul, not for you, not for me, not because of you, not because of me. It is because the soul was seeking Him earnestly for all these years. He will do great things even with a simple wood or stone. Who are you and me? When the spies entered the city, when Rahab helped them to hide them, and the Lord gave her life, but when they returned back to the camp, they took all the vessels, all the good items from that city, and they brought back to the camp. But all those vessels were not made by the children of Israel. It was made by the enemies. But still, the Lord made it to be useful for His children. Which means all these years, whatever they prepared, the enemies, for their own understanding, for their own purpose, for their own selfish life, the Lord took it and gave it to His children. So the way the Lord works in our life is so marvelous, we can only check ourselves, are we humble? Are we being there as a mere empty vessel? If the Holy Spirit does not bear witness with our spirit, then we cannot call ourselves as the children of God, the Lord has spoken it. Now, on the left side, put on charity, the bond of perfectness. Amen? Can we put on charity by ourselves? If we can do that, then we can say, Lord, I am perfected, I will just wait for you to come and take me home. Then, we cannot be perfected by ourselves. The Lord has established His fivefold ministry to do this task. And His apostles, the servants of God, they submit to God so that God can do His work. Empty gloves. And we have to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why? The word peace, every time when you read in the Bible, we have to remember peace is a result of a victory after a battle. When there is a war, there is no rest. After the war, there is rest. When there is a battle, there is no peace. After the battle, there is a peace. Amen? If the Lord tells you, I give you my peace, He tells you the battle is over. Whom you are fighting against? What are you fighting against? Be still and know that I am God. So the word peace is actually understanding. It is not the peace that we are all seeking for. For me, I always misunderstood. To me, peace means I am troubled with lot of thoughts of cloud in my heart. And I just want to be quiet, be relaxed, be happy. To me, that was peace many years ago. But it is not peace. When Jesus was going through Calvary, He was stripped off. They struck Him on the head. They spat Him on His face. every time you read this, can you say that Jesus was not at peace? He was at peace because He knows exactly what's going on. He received peace and strength in the Garden of Gethsemane. Everything is already over. The moment He said, "Let thy will be done." That's it. The word spoken, all completed. Everything else happened is just nothing but a fulfillment. But in our life, the problem is, God just wants us to see the fulfillment. But we are actually fighting against the perfect will of God with our own will. Because of that, we became the hindrance to our own life. Always remember this. No one in this world can hinder or delay the work of God. You can delay and hinder your own salvation. Amen?
Yes.
Absolutely no one, no power in this world can stop the work of God, can hinder or delay the work of God. Whenever you think like that, remember the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 30, but He, the Lord, is gracious. Because of that, He waits. It is not a delay. He waits. There is a difference between the Lord who waits because He is gracious, and there is a difference between a brother or a sister who wants to rush off things. Then the Lord would remind us, don't you remember what happened to Jonah? City of Nineveh is a reminder to all of us. God does things in His own will and pleasure. He don't wait because He wants to delay. He waits for the very last sheep that is still not entered into the pack. Amen. So, if we all want to be the witness of the Lord, first thing, we have to become the walking Bible. We have to become the walking epistles of Apostle Paul. We have to become the walking commandments of God. If not, when we speak the word, the person who receives, he may receive, but not because of your testimony, not because of my testimony, it's because of the Lord who bypassed you and me and touched him directly. Amen? When the Lord visited Saul, did he use any mighty servants? No. Did he use any apostles? No. He went directly to tell them, "I will do anything, everything as I wish." When David committed sin with Bathsheba, I was always thinking, the Lord sent Nathan, right, Prophet Nathan, to go and teach David. When David was standing on the balcony, when he was about to see Bathsheba taking birth, if the Lord sent the prophet Nathan, he wouldn't have committed the sin. He would have been distracted. But the Lord would never hold His children from doing wrong things. Because He wants us to be forged through fire. And that fire can save our life, can also destroy our life. It's the same. We choose. He won't choose. He don't want any of us to die. It is us who has the power to choose the blessing and the curse. So, glory and honor are in His presence. We all believe this. Amen. If we have His presence, we receive His glory and honor. Right side. The Lord said, He gave a promise. My presence shall go with thee and the throne will be established forever. He did not say until the end of the earth. Forever. Forever means He is pointing towards eternity. He said this to David. And we are here to live a life by submitting our everything to the Lord for the Lord to mold us. I was, last week, my son Joshua, he's 4 years old. He cannot ride bicycle without the side support, the two small wheels. I'm sure you remember how it looks. So he can ride cycle with these two supports. But when I was teaching my daughter Hazel 3 or 4 years ago, I used a stick to mount it behind the cycle. I had to hold the cycle so that she can drive, you know, she can practice. In these two examples, there is a big difference. You see why? On one side, my daughter cannot practice without me, because that stick cannot stand without my hand. The cycle will fall. So, if she wants to learn bicycle, she will torture me that I want you to come with me. If you don't come, I won't go to the play area. So, I have to go with her, because I need to hold the stick. It's like a narrow path. One stick, there is no support. No right, no left. But for my son, he don't care. If I tell him I don't come to the play area, I say it's fine. He will go on his own. Because the cycle has right wheel and left wheel, he knows it won't topple. He knows. So he don't need me. He will go on his own. So now, if the Lord gave us an option, I will give you all my blessings, all the knowledge, all the truth, all the mystery, all the prophetical gifts, all the healing gifts, everything that you can think of from the Bible, I will give it to you. and we say, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this privilege. I take all. Then we take the bicycle with our right understanding, left understanding, we go. And we tell the Lord, I will come and meet you on Friday. I will come and meet you on Sunday. Take care of your health. We go. Then, on the other side, if the Lord tells us, I won't give you anything. I won't tell you anything. Wherever you go, you need my hand. I will hold you. If we choose this, we don't know when we can ride a bicycle without his hand. We would never know when you will learn. But you know that you will be with him. For me, I would choose to be an ignorant and be with the hand of the Lord rather than being my own master, being my own intellectually superior theology, whatever you can call it. This one is an independent journey. And this one is a dependent journey. We all must be dependable to the Lord. We all must be dependent to the Lord. We should have a bondage with the Lord. The day when you think I can go on my own, that the day you left the presence of the Lord, then you are vulnerable to be attacked. Don't think too much about accuser, adversary, enemy. We can kill ourselves, as simple as that. We don't need an enemy. When Lucifer deceived, he did not have another Lucifer to deceive him. He deceived himself. We can deceive ourselves. Let's don't put the blame on the enemy. Let's don't put the blame on God's people. Let's not put the blame on God's word. We cannot hide. The Bible says there is no place on this earth you can hide. Amen?
Yes.
Now, the top one is what so beautiful for us to understand how much importance of the time that we are all in right now. All these 6,000 years of journey, all the books are written, it is all going to be fulfilled in our time, in our generation. Do you understand what kind of time that we are all living in? Being lukewarm is no different than being a frozen group of people in denomination. The Lord wants all of us to wake up. That is why in Revelation He said, I gave you everything. You have all the gifts. You have the Holy Ghost. Wake up. Lord don't want us to be perished. Just wake up. When He said wake up, we say, Lord, I listen, I follow you. Lord, do not want us to be left behind. Lord, do not want us to be right in our own understanding. But He wants us to be straight in looking up to Him to follow the ark. That is why the Lord says, we are all sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. If we are not sealed, then we are exposed. We don't have the breastplate of righteousness. When someone throws the arrow at you, it will pierce through your heart. You may say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, for taking my life. The world we live in, we always have this purest form of deception in our own mind that we put everything on the Lord's side. But we fail to see that it is our own mistake. On the top, multiply. The word multiply is something that I'm truly blessed. Churches are multiplied has been completely misunderstood by the today's denominational world, where they want to increase the size and where they want to multiply what they do, all the riches of what they can think of. Churches multiply. Are you the temple of the Lord? Amen. We are all the temple of the Lord. We are the body of Christ. And who is the head? Jesus Christ. Amen. So we are all church. You are a church, I am a church, you are a church, we are all one church. Churches multiply. The Lord said, be fruitful, fill the earth, replenish the earth and subdue it. And the Bible said, the glory of the Lord will fill the earth. How God can fill the earth if the Holy Ghost is not poured upon to the corners of the earth? And what is the purpose of the ministry of reconciliation? To go and share the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, which will be revealed by the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost descends upon that particular soul, that soul received the glory of the Lord. And that place, the glory of the Lord, fills that particular place where the truth is revealed. The Lord wants to use all of us to fill the earth with His glory. And that is what we all should seek. Open faith, beholding as in a glass of the glory of the Lord. Glass of the glory of the Lord. When you look into the mirror, we say sometimes we don't remember who we were. And I look into the mirror, the Bible says,
he forgot the person who he was. He forgot everything. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine help shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. We say, oh Lord, you are my great reward. You are the greatest reward of my life. And the Lord says, I will give my glory if you are not anyone, but if you are one in me. I in my Father, Father in me, I in you, you in me. That particular verse, it emphasizes the importance of being one. In Hebrew, the first letter, Aleph number, it means oneness of God. We will meditate on that. So now, the flame, the fire, the flame of fire, the devouring fire, the fire that encampeth round about, and the glory of the Lord which descended into the tabernacle and burnt the sacrifice. The word fire is used in the Bible to represent how the Lord dealt with his people, how the glory of the Lord transitioned from the Old Testament until New Testament in terms of Holy Ghost being poured upon the face of the earth. These are all like typos and shadows, you know, in what we read in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 verse 14. Let me read from verse 13. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one. The trumpeters and singers were as one. To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The house of the Lord filled with a cloud. So the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Amen. Now let's please open the glory of the Lord. Glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. As you load, I will read one more verse. In the same book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 1, we read, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Again, verse 2 says, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. They could not enter. And we sing with praise, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Now we can enter. Amen. So now, let's read this verse of life, the glory of the Lord, from the Old Testament until the chapter of Revelation, how the Lord has been teaching all of us. When the Lord said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and I won't give my glory to anyone, and nor my praise to any graven images, no heathen gods. Our own understanding is also idol worship. Amen. So now, this is what the Lord said. From here, we hold on to his word, because the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, how can we receive his glory from here? Because the Lord said, I won't give my glory to anyone. I am the only Savior. I am the only God. There is no one beside me. Now, what is the meaning of reconciling back to him? Now, let's pay attention very closely. In Genesis, we just read, earth was void without form, and the darkness was upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of the God moving upon the face of the waters. So now, Romans 3, we just read, we, people from this earth, all have sinned short of the glory of the Lord. But there are prophecies, promises given in Habakkuk and Numbers and Psalms. We read, for the earth will be, not maybe, not may, will be
filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea and no one can stop it. Amen. You and me cannot stop it. We can only be part of it. We are not the saviors. Numbers, and the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. The word has been spoken, it shall come to pass. Isaiah 7:7, always remember this. Anything against God's word, anything against God's word, it shall not stand, it shall not come to pass. Anything that God has purpose in his heart, it shall come to pass. And this is a word spoken. Now, this is the beautiful transition that I think we all can keep on learning over and over again. When the Lord told Adam, I start from Adam. When the Lord told Adam, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Amen. He gave him 4 commands, which all one. He is just telling him implicitly, fill the earth with my glory. Because you are my son, I created you. In you there is no sin. Then the Lord said that. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, for the earth was void, without form, in the beginning. So that the Lord, the light, can fill the earth. Then Adam lived until 930 years, he died. But Adam is the first creation of the Lord. He had no parents, but the Lord himself. He was created from the dust. He was not a child. He was made, created as a man. He is different than anyone in the Bible. He did what exactly to be done. And what is the very important purpose for which he was created? He executed his task so beautifully. He took everything on his shoulder for his bride, his wife. And he walked out of the Garden of Eden. He bare the reproach. And he started his own Calvary and he died after 930 years. We all say, Lord, I want to bear your reproach until the very end of my life. He bare the shame for all of us. Then the Lord went and told Noah, Noah, be fruitful, replenish the earth. Exactly the same word, he said. Then from Noah, we know the flood destroyed Ham, Shem, Japheth. In the generation of Shem, we know who came. Then the Lord told Abraham, I will bless thy generations and I will be with you. Be fruitful. Your seed will establish like the stars of the heaven. Then Abraham died. Then who came? Isaac. Lord gave another promise, a covenant to Isaac. Then Isaac died. Then who came? Jacob, whose name changed to Israel. Then Lord said the same thing. Then he died. Then who came? Judah. And Lord told Judah, don't go to Egypt. For your I will give you all the nations to you. And your seed, I will establish my kingdom. He said all these to, as we read in our fathers in the past, the prophets, God spake unto them. In his last days, he is speaking to all of us through his son. Amen. When he said this to Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who is Israel, Judah and David, to David the Lord said, I will establish thy line forever. Now, to Moses and Aaron, whom the Lord used to lead the people of Israel in the wilderness, it is so beautiful when Aaron was speaking to people, then the people saw the glory of the Lord appeared. There is a difference between appearing and filling. Let's say, two of us watching rain a bit far away. We witness the rain is pouring upon people. And let's say all the church getting soaked. And we too say, oh, such a beautiful rain. People are getting soaked in the rain. So I can say, I saw the rain appeared. Then the rain moved and soaked all of us. Then we say, the rain filled the house of the Lord where I am. Because we are all soaked. It's a huge difference. Appearance and being appeared and being filled. That is why follow the ark of God. There is a strong deception. We may think, we may believe, we may perceive, we may feel that we are following the ark of God because of the warm feeling. But it is nothing but the appearance of what the Lord is doing in the midst of someone, in the midst of some place. We have to be in. And here, when the Lord was speaking to Moses and Aaron, we read the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle for the very first time. At first it was appeared, then it filled, step by step, glory to glory, amen, grace to grace. But for Solomon, it is different. Solomon built a house for the Lord, a great house, with great vessels. But when he sanctified the place, when they praise, sing song in one, the Bible says, the Lord, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, not house of Solomon. That is why we have to be very careful when we read. It was not the house of Solomon. The Bible said very clearly, Solomon built the house of the Lord, for the house of the Lord, by the house of the Lord, in the house of the Lord. That is why when the glory of the Lord filled, the Bible said, filled the house of the Lord. Now, the last one is apostles. We witness Adam, Abraham, Moses, Noah, David. But in apostles, there is a big line which transforms everything into spiritual. No physical, no room for physical aspects. No big temple, big buildings, no big fire coming down. But when the Lord poured His Holy Spirit on the apostles on the day of Pentecost, they became apostles. And the Bible says, dove in the shape of fire descended unto them. Then they spake in tongues. And the Lord said in the last days, He will speak to His children through His Son. And the Son said, I will go ascend and I will send the Comforter. It's all one. If somebody is confused about oneness of God, the Lord will reveal if we ask Him. Because everything is there. We will focus on if the Lord wants all of us to be one. One faith, one baptism, one Savior, one Lord, one word. Here, the Lord says, I want to be all in all, and that is the purpose of being part of the ministry to fill the glory of the Lord. That's why in apostles, the same task was given to them in completely in a spiritual realm. He told the same thing, be fruitful spiritually, be multiplied spiritually, and fill the whole earth with my Holy Ghost. Wherever you go, when you preach, when you baptize, people will prophesy. People will receive the gifts of Holy Ghost. And that is the final confirmation, transformation, fulfillment of what the Lord said. The whole earth will be filled with His glory. And that was given to apostles. That is how the church age began. And now we are standing in the cliff, the edge of the last seventh church age. We are vulnerable more than anyone in the past six church ages, because it is all coming to an end. We have to grow in the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, not the knowledge of knowing the deepest things of the Bible. It's all for us to understand the glory of the Lord. Now, the Bible says, warns us, only the righteousness will remain in the fruitful field. When Adam and Eve committed something against the Lord, they were scared of the presence of the Lord. We read, right? Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. They flee from the presence of the Lord and they went and hide behind the trees. They thought Lord cannot see them if they hide behind the trees. But Adam knows very well about his father. He knows how powerful he is. But still, when we commit something, when we do something wrong, our eyes will be blurred. Our understanding will be shaken. And Adam and Eve, they truly thought they can go and hide behind the trees. How can we hide behind? How can we hide from the Spirit of the Lord? We cannot. So they still did. Because the tree that they were hiding behind, it is because they left the presence of the Lord, they also left the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. They left. So they lost everything. Then Isaiah chapter 60, we read, we are the right trees of righteousness. And here we read, only the righteousness shall remain in the fruitful field. If we are not fruitful to Him, God will cut off and throw it into the fire. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. I will prune that you may bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit, I will cut off and throw it to you. Because I am the light. If you are my child, if I am witnessing with you, if you are not fruitful, then who am I? Now, from here, there is another warning. A word spoken. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see together. all the flesh shall see together. When you see this, may the Lord remind all of us, every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow. All the flesh shall see the glory of the Lord revealed. Then what is the definition of revelation of the glory of the Lord? It is nothing but understanding who is Jesus, accepting who is Jesus, and proclaiming that He is the Lord. It is written in Philippians 2 verse 11, every tongue should confess, not may confess, not because of you, not because of me. Every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord, because they will see the glory of the Lord. Then they will repent. Now, hath in these last days God spoken unto us by His Son, the Word of God. Not by people, not by men, not by principalities, not by our own desire, by the purest form of the spiritual milk, the Word of God. Our Lord Savior Jesus Christ is also called the Word of God in Revelation. Who being the brightness of His glory, the more and more we meditate, the Lord will show His light more and more. Amen. Until the day we will look back and we don't even recognize who we are. We completely transfigured. The last one, Colossians chapter 1 verse 26. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. Every time when we read the verse hid, we should remember when the Lord said, the life that is hid in Christ Jesus. The true life, the Lord hid in Christ Jesus. Only it will be revealed to those who seek Him. Amen. And the mystery which had been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The brightness of glory, the hope of glory, and the manifestation of God's glory. And the Lord says, what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And who is the D? Without the fivefold ministry, perfecting the bride, perfecting the saints of God is not possible. The Lord has established this great commission to sail through the seven different church ages. Chapter 3 verse 4. When I read that, I was reminded the grace and mercy of our Lord in our lives. Because we all should remember Romans 3:23 in our mind. For all have sinned short of the glory of the Lord. Amen. Colossians chapter 3 verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with Him in glory. The same glory that we were all short of, because we all have sinned. And what is hid in Colossians 1? The Lord said, the mystery of the Lord was hid for all the ages, all the generations, revealed to all of us, the hope of glory. We read from verse 1, the same chapter. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. May the Lord guide us and grant us the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, to seek His presence, to seek Him, to seek His face over and over again, so that we will be lost in the brightness of His glory. Everything else, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, our life being fruitful for the Lord will take care. He just wants us to be in His presence, to seek His presence where there is liberty. So we thank the Lord that we receive the things of the Spirit. So let us all be assured that we have the Holy Ghost. Let no man think that why I am being quiet
all these thoughts are not spiritually constructive. We are not quiet. The Lord will wake us all of us, because the word that He gave to all of us, it is still in us. It is life. No one can take it away from us. And we still believe our Lord is our Savior. The Holy Spirit is with us. We must believe. When we believe, the manifestation will start taking place. When we believe, the fruits will start become ripe for the Lord to serve as a feast to His children. Amen. We thank the Lord. We shall continue the next week. That's all. Raise and pray and I hand over to Brother Paul. Our Lord, our God, thank you, Lord, that you showed us thy grace and mercy. For all, we all have sinned and we are all short of the glory of the Lord, but Lord, still, you look beyond the cross and you filled all our lives with your joy, thy presence, which is our strength. And Lord, we thank you that you filled all our hearts with thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, you opened our eyes, you opened our hearts to receive your word. Lord, we thank you for teaching us. And Lord, we pray that we are the house of the Lord. And we believe this in the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says, ask me anything and I shall give it to you. If we all ask anything in his name, and the only thing that we can ask, Lord, may you fill the tabernacle. May you fill the house of the Lord. May you fill the temple of the Lord. May you fill your church with thy glory and thy presence. And that is our calling, O Lord. Our calling is to be in your presence, to seek thy presence, and to do everything for the glory of the Lord, so that wherever we go, wherever we meet people, whenever we say things, we are used by the Lord to fill His glory in this earth. Lord, help us, O Lord, to identify our shortcomings. And Lord, teach us and open our hearts to receive thy word, that we will be fruitful. We want to be the remnant. We want to be the righteousness who remain in the fruitful field. And it is not thee, O Lord. It is the righteousness of thee, the Holy One, the Mighty One of Israel. Help us to be the righteousness of the trees of righteousness, O Lord, not the trees of this world. Help us to bear more fruit to glorify thy name. We thank you and we believe in Jesus' name that this is your church, this is your congregation, and we are all here as an empty vessel, and we believe the same way you fill the tabernacle with thy glory, the same way that you fill the house of the Lord, which was built by Solomon, with thy glory, and the same way that you filled all the apostles with thy Holy Ghost. And Lord, we believe in Jesus' name that you will pour upon the Holy Spirit upon all of us, so that, Lord, we will be filled with the glory of the Lord, and we will glorify thy mighty name to the end of the earth, O Lord. We thank you for everything. We bless thy holy name. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. God bless you all.